gotta.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the show. I'm Justin, of course. I'm joined with your boy Dante. How are you, Dante?
I'm doing well. Hello, everybody. Hello, Justin. How are you?
I'm great. It's a good week. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you guys are new to the show is all about bringing together different perspectives. Dante and I agree, we disagree, but most importantly, we come together to discuss topics relating to pop culture, politics, entertainment, music, and we always have a good discussion every single time. We never feel afraid of running from uncomfortable topics. We try and tackle them on this show because I think the emphasis for this show is talking about the things that people don't discuss enough. So it might make you uncomfortable. It might be weird for you to hear it and to hear us talking about it so openly, but I think it's what y'all appreciate about the show. So I appreciate you guys for listening every single week. So subscribe if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Leave a rating. Leave a review. We love to see that. And also leave an anonymous question. So in the description of this episode, you guys will see a link where y'all can send in anonymous questions. So if y'all have a question, comment, concern for the show, if you want to say hi, if you want to give us a scenario about how we would react to something if we were in your shoes, anything and everything, feel free to send that in and we will make time to discuss that on the show. So a lot of y'all have been sending stuff in and we will eventually get to it. So it's not like y'all are typing stuff in and we don't want to talk about it on the show. I see it. We see you. We will get to it at some point. Nevertheless, we do appreciate that. This week, you know, nothing to rant about for me because it's been a positive week. I know you had something for Off My Chest that you wanted to talk about, so why don't we get into it? Dante, let's get into Off My Chest.
Justin's gotta give
it off his chest.
Dante has got to give
it off his chest.
Justin and Dante gotta
get it off their chest.
I actually have a positive thing to get off my chest this week. For those of you that know me personally that listen to this, or maybe you follow me on IG because of the podcast, whatever the situation may be, I think that a lot of you know now that I'm a part of a mentorship program where we provide college readiness for kids of color that are high school juniors and seniors. Quick overview. I was actually selected to be a part of this program when I was a senior in high school, and it changed my life. It gave me guidance and direction that I didn't have before, and it put me around, you know, younger black professionals that were doing the damn thing and showing you that, hey, there's a different way, and we can, you know, guide you and put you around like-minded people and set you up on a path to success and give you these teachings that a lot of you might not have at home. But this weekend, I posted some pictures of stuff we did in the program throughout the years. I've been back with the program as a mentor. They asked me to come back about 8 years ago. Dating myself a little bit here. Feel a little bit old, but it's okay. And I posted some pictures and posted a little story about the program and said, hey, you know what? It's something I've been messing around with in my head for a while. And if you guys know anything about me on here, you know that I'm one of those people that I ain't going to talk about. I'm going to do it. So I said I wanted to start a scholarship. So I posted that on my Facebook and on my Instagram story. I just want to say thank you to everyone who found it in their heart to donate to the scholarship that I started. In the middle of a pandemic, people still decide to give and improve the situation of strangers. And I really think that that's, you know, part of the spirit of this show. So anyone who donated, shared the post, or just let me know that, you know, they appreciate what I'm doing and gave words of support, you are appreciated. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much. And I hope that one day, you know, us, the working poor, we don't need to rely on each other for things like this, and that the 1%, you know, does their part. I won't hold my breath for it, but sincerely, thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Let's give a round of applause for that. I think that's great. I think that anytime people want to, you know, reach out and do good for their own community, I think that's great, especially when they don't have to do so. So I appreciate you for being so open about the good things that you want to do for your own community. And hopefully that inspires people to do the same. It's kind of like giving it back or throwing it back. What do they call it? Not throwing it back. Paying it
definitely
forward.
Definitely throwing it back, man. Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. Where are we going?
That's not what we're teaching these young men. We're not teaching them throwing it back.
Oh, paying it forward.
Yeah, paying it forward, giving back. You know, it's very touching to my friends and to the people that decided to donate. I love every single one of y'all. Enrique called me about it and was talking to me about it, and I was like, hey man, like, the donation is great, but, you know, sharing the post so it could reach more people is even better. Like, you don't got to keep donating to me, because he already made a donation. And he was like, look, as long as you're accepting money for it, I'm going to donate, because what you're doing is the Lord's work. You might not see it. I know you're a person that doesn't see the things that you do and appreciates them in the moment, because you're always focused on, I got to keep going. But what you're doing, the Lord's work, and I'm super proud of you. So, like, that means a lot to everybody who's decided to donate. Once I have that final list, I'll read all y'all names on here. Like, I appreciate you.
I think that's a perfect segue. We're talking about building our communities and doing good. So it looks like our government finally wants to do the same, right? It's been months. You know, Biden promised that people will have their stimulus checks. And up until now, we've got nothing. So some good news, everybody. The House finally decided to pass the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. So now it's going to be going towards the Senate and they're going to vote on it. So it's about time. Like, this is the first step, but there's still so much to be done. This is only one check, and it just sucks that it takes this long for one bill to pass, for one check, when people have been struggling for months. So, you know, I'm happy that people are going to get some type of relief, but at the end of the day, we should expect better from our elected officials to deliver for the people. Make that your number one priority. Now that this impeachment stuff is over, focus 100% on, you know, doing what they were elected to do, which is help the people in need. And in this pandemic, there's a lot of people in need out there. So hopefully the Senate can hurry up and, you know, get the votes together and approve that so that we can get these people some help.
You know, we both have our gripes and our things to say about Uncle Joe. Listen, if anybody thought the man was coming in here, it was going to be FDR and we're going to get a new deal. And I'm not talking about Green New Deal for all the people on the other side that listen to us. That's not what I'm talking about. FDR's original plan when he created Social Security and brought this nation out of the Great Depression was called the New Deal. It was a lot of social reforms and legislation to actually help the people. If anybody thought that was going to be Joe Biden, I mean, you're sadly mistaken. That's not who he is. Joe Biden is a steady hand, right? Like, for the people in Texas who listen, Dak Prescott is your quarterback, right? And of course. Dak Prescott's a really good quarterback, I would say. That's no bias. Andy Dalton was a steady hand. You know, he came in, he said, hey, listen, I ain't going to win y'all any games, but I can do my best to not lose any for you either. and I think that's the best way to temper your expectations for Biden and his administration. I will say, however, that it is very, listen, this is one of the biggest price tags on legislation ever, $1.9 trillion. So I don't think it was something that was going to happen overnight. I think it's a very ambitious plan, and I think that it is needed for sure, because there are people hurting. There's people whose unemployment benefits are running out soon.
I disagree.
There's people who are going to be evicted soon. This needs to get out to the people. So, I mean, that's what we elect government officials do, right? Their job is to help us. Their job is to improve the lives of the people. You don't think their job is to improve the lives of the people?
I disagree with your point about it being an ambitious bill. You know, I should have noted earlier that this bill did not include a $15 minimum wage. So I'm not going to act like this is a FDR's New Deal policies. Like, this is not the most ambitious thing that he could have passed. On top of it being unambitious, on top of it not including a $15 minimum wage, in other news, Biden also decided that this was the right time to bomb another nation. We thought that this would be the end of spreading and continuing this war, and now we're seeing that that's not the case. He's continuing the scope of the previous administration when it comes to our dealings in the Middle East. And I think that it's unfortunate that so many people are seeing this, and I have some people that are from the Middle East that I follow, and they were putting stories on their Instagram page talking about how these are family, these are people that are part of their community that Biden is affecting with his foreign policy. In addition to tempering expectations, we should also expect better from him as well. And I think that what he did is unacceptable.
So let me get back in here on, you talk about the bill not being ambitious. You know, we can agree, disagree. I think that a lot of it is what can get passed. And the bill that the House just passed does include the $15 minimum wage. Parliamentarian rules, however that's set up, they decided that you cannot push a $15 minimum wage increase into this bill once it gets to the Senate for whatever reason, right? I'm not an expert on the procedural dealings and operations of the United States Senate, and I would argue that most of the senators there are not either. Just saying. But the bill that the House passed does include the $15 minimum wage raise. But when it gets to the Senate, it's not going to be able to be put into this legislation. So I just want to make sure y'all have the facts.
But there's a way that they could have included that with budget reconciliation, and I don't know why they didn't exercise that option. Bernie has been talking about that.
That's the way that they're probably going to try and do it, is make it its own thing and put it through budget reconciliation. To the people in the Middle East, the innocent people who lost lives, lost family members, lost their way of life, you know, there's not words that I can get on here and say, or that Justin can get on here and say. There's not words that will, you know, heal the pain that you might be going through. I agree. War is ugly, and there's casualties of war every single time. And I think that there's a lot of unnecessary war that goes on in the world. I honestly don't have a better statement for you on that. And I apologize. It's just my heart's with you.
Yeah, and that goes with me continuing to say that we shouldn't ever worship presidents or any elected officials. I know that sometimes Dante says that Obama is his forever president. And I think that for a lot of people, language like that can be very insulting. What you consider best for you is somebody's worst. And that's why I continue to not worship these people or put them on a pedestal, because they do some atrocious things. And it'd be insulting for me to like praise or worship Obama when he is the one that deported more people than George W. Bush and even Trump. For those people that had their families broken, I sincerely doubt that they would ever say Obama is their favorite president or the best president. That stuff doesn't matter. What matters is them building a legacy in this country without the government breaking up their family. So that goes without saying, but that's just something that I really go hard about, because a lot of people, now that Biden is president, feel reluctant to challenge him in any way. But I think that we should hold all of our people accountable. Same with Andrew Cuomo, somebody that has, you know, questionable allegations against him. Just because he's a Democrat doesn't mean that I'm going to ease up on him or not even cover him on the show. You know, he's been accused of some terrible stuff. People said that he hid numbers about how many deaths with people dying in nursing homes during COVID. That's terrible. You know, you have to answer for that. And I think that the American people need to hold everybody accountable and not just Republicans.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's two points I want to make about what you just said, though. I don't idolize Barry like that. I'm a person that, with music, movies, whatever, I'm into ranking things. I like putting numeric value behind. So I'll be like, hey, you know what? To me, these are the top 10 artists that I've ever seen in concert or whatever. That's how I rank Barry or whatever. I don't idolize him, because for the other side, the Bible thumper side out there that might listen to us, you know what the Bible says about false prophets, right? Should we get into that, Justin? Should I read a little bit of a... Should we get the prayer cloth out? Do I take them to church real quick?
Let's get out the prayer cloth, everybody.
Justin.
Get out your prayer cloth.
Dante.
Get out your prayer cloth.
Everybody.
Get out your prayer cloth. Dab it off your head to pray.
Get out your prayer cloth, darling.
You shall not make for yourself the carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Don't worship false prophets, man. And if we saw anything from the CPAC convention in Florida this weekend, they have golden statues of not worshiping false prophets. And also about the accountability thing, yeah, I believe anybody should be held accountable for any transgression that they have. I don't care if you're a person of color, if you're white, if you're a woman, whatever you identify as, whatever your sexual preference is, I don't care. If you have a transgression, you should be held accountable for it. I think that a lot of, and I'm not speaking for everybody because I can't speak for anybody of any demographic. I can only speak for Dante. But I think that a lot of the Democratic side are like, hey, we just had 4 years of unchecked. Nobody got held accountable for shit. They can't even agree to hold domestic terrorists accountable for storming the Capitol. But you should hold the people on Democratic side accountable too. If Cuomo was guilty of all these things, you got to get him the fuck up out of there, man. That's just what it is. I don't believe that right or wrong is decided on party lines. Right or wrong is right or wrong. It's wherever your moral compass lies.
I agree. So, yeah, that goes without saying. But, yeah, speaking of the last president, it looks like he had a convention. He gave, I guess, the last speech there. He, I guess, hinted that he was going to be running for president in 2024. Hate to see it, and hopefully he doesn't end up running again, but we know what we need to do. If that happens, we know that we have to get out there and vote the same way we did this time around.
If he runs again and is elected, it's what this nation deserves, because there's people out there that still have not learned their lesson. If he runs again and wins, and let's say that he loses the popular vote by 9 million, I don't think there would ever be a bigger reason for you, anybody that has an elected office, to say, yeah, we should probably do away with this whole electoral college thing. We talk about this country as a democracy and every vote counts, but does it really? One person, one vote. Let's get it done.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting about wanting to go with the popular vote, because I do think that if the Electoral College favored Democrats, that there would be no cause to get rid of it. So I think there's hypocrisy on both sides, because I really do believe that if the Electoral College heavily benefited Democrats, nobody would ever call for, oh, democracy, oh, popular vote. You know, the lesson moving forward is that your vote does matter, your vote does count, and we just have to be sure to exercise it each time. And not only in the general, but also in your local elections, too. So let's talk about housing. So we've had this on the list for a while. Dante, you had this story about a black couple that listed their home and wanted to get it appraised. And for whatever reason, whenever they tried to get it appraised, it wasn't increasing in value. So they decided one day to have one of their white friends impersonate them. And then I don't know if they used a different appraiser, but the house got appraised for $500,000 more than it was previously appraised for. And that's crazy, because one thing that we don't talk enough about in this country is housing discrimination. It's so interesting. I guess there's so many problems with this country, so it's hard to focus on each one. But housing discrimination is one of the things that we don't. I'm being serious. Like, housing discrimination is one of the things that we don't focus on enough. People don't realize that one of the gateways to reaching wealth is through home ownership. And home ownership continues to elude those in less privileged positions. So we need to highlight this issue as one of the biggest issues of our country, because I know loans are an issue. I know that poverty is an issue. I know capitalism is an issue. But housing discrimination is a huge issue, because so many people could increase their wealth by gaining access to home ownership but are being denied, whether that's not being given access to loans or getting lowball offers when it comes to house appraisals. There's so many issues with this. Dante, what do you think?
So yes, housing discrimination is a big issue in this country, and it's just crazy, like, to think about it, right? Like, just based off of this woman being in there and pretending it was her place, that her whiteness equaled $500,000. Like, there's no other way to say it. I don't ever like to look at the world in a view of, like, hey, this just happened to me because I'm black, or this just happened to this person because I'm black, but this right here, this happened because they were black. There's no way around it. So her whiteness equaled $500,000 in equity in this home. Just to help you guys, like, think outside the box, right, and look at the bigger picture. You know why there's a such thing as black neighborhoods and white neighborhoods and, you know, Little Havana or Little Italy or Chinatown and all these places, is because of redlining and where these banks were letting people buy homes. So all these neighborhoods were created. It wasn't just happenstance or serendipity that, oh, I wonder why all the black people live in that town, and across the railroad tracks, that's where all the white people live. Because it was designed that way. Because that's where they were giving the loans to these people to live. And keeping people from owning a home is what stops the creation of generational wealth. Something that has equity, that has value, that you can pass down. That is important.
Because renting is not the way to go. Honestly, long-term wise, eventually people want to be able to have something for themselves, have something to renovate and sell for a higher price, or even pass down to your family as something that builds your wealth. So I think it's important for people to look at stories like this and call it out whenever you see it. If that is not blatant discrimination, I don't know what is. But, you know, stuff like this is interesting to me because it's real, it's true. And one thing that I love is, like, documentaries that teach us about the things that people don't talk about enough. So Dante was telling me over the weekend about a new Netflix documentary.
It's called Amend. It's on Netflix. It's produced by Will Smith. It's kind of, it follows in the footsteps of The 13th. And if you haven't seen The 13th by now, please watch it. Please watch it.
It's eye-opening, and it also it teaches you about things that you might have not learned in school. That's why it's so important for people to do their own research. I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm going to give my thoughts on it when I do get around to watching it. But stuff like that is interesting because it's true, it's real, and you learn at the end of the day. Because I think an educated population is a dangerous population because people don't want you to have, you know, access to knowledge. To have a book is to have knowledge, and to have knowledge is to have power. So the last thing that we have, the Golden Globes at the time of this recording was last night. So I watched it. Everything was Zoom. Normally everybody at the Golden Globes, they're all sitting at the tables and drinking and having a good time. Due to the pandemic, everybody was on, you know, video calls on Zoom. So I thought that was interesting. But the thing I wanted to highlight, we talked about it last week, Judas and the Black Messiah, one of my favorite movies of the year. They recognized our boy Daniel Kaluuya. They awarded him Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture. And I think it's well deserved. So with this win, it's looking like Daniel Kaluuya is going to cruise all the way down to the Oscar and probably is going to win the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. And this man deserves it because he killed the role. It's a great movie. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to watch it. It's so good.
And didn't Chadwick win for Best Actor last night as well?
Yes, he did. He did. I forgot to mention that.
Was that for the Spike Lee movie or was that for Ma Rainey?
That was for Ma Rainey.
Yo, y'all need to watch Ma Rainey, too, because him and Viola Davis, like, they act their asses off in that movie. It's really entertaining, yes, too. So, if you have a Netflix subscription or you know somebody's password, I suggest you watch Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Or if you have bootleg, you know, that's an option, too. It's free.
Sharing is caring.
Stick it to capitalism. It is. It is, and I do it all the time. I do it all the time. So definitely watch those two films, and if y'all need more recommendations, feel free to hit us up. This is another plug. If you want to follow us on our social media, all of that is linked in the description, so feel free to follow us if you are wanting to. But Dante, you wrote something down about criticizing people, and your question was, is it still okay to criticize people? What prompted you to ask that question, and why did you want to talk about it on this episode?
Well, before we get into that, there's some things that I want to say about the episode that came out last week, which was called Black Like Me. Go check it out if you didn't listen to it yet, or, you know, listen to it again if the spirit moves you. I don't know, I go back and listen to these episodes more times than once because I enjoy it. I was going to do an impersonation there, but anyway, a lot of people have told us, or told, went to, came to me and said, hey, I think this is the best episode you guys have done so far. It was very open and honest, and you were super vulnerable, and, you know, I'm glad that we were able to provide that to you. I'm glad that you got to see a side of, see the world through somebody else's eyes, I guess, is the way to put that, because I was just telling you about what I deal with, you know, and Justin was just telling you about what he's dealt with, so I'm glad that it was very thought-provoking because we both were getting a lot of messages about that episode. So I'm glad that, you know, and that's the goal, right? We want these conversations to happen. And that leads me, is there anything that you want to say about last week's episode before I go into the listener question?
I enjoyed it. I feel like there was more that I forgot to say in that episode. So whenever I have feelings like that, that's always room to do a part two in the future. So if y'all have, you know, specific questions for us about what we dealt with that we didn't answer in last week's episode, feel free to hit us up about that and we'll be sure to answer it if there's enough to do a part two. But other than that, I don't have anything to add.
Okay. And so we do have a listener question from Julia. So thank you, Julia, for always listening and always supporting us and everything. But she asked about this vaccine. She said, how do you think people of color will react to the new vaccines? One of her mutual friends on TikTok was saying that she trusts science and everything, but she's afraid because of the syphilis experiments that the government ran on black men in Alabama in the past. And do we think people will be more confident about getting vaccinated over time, or will it not happen because of the historical trauma of the past? So I can let you answer that first if you want to.
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, because of history, because of what black people have dealt with when it comes to the syphilis experiment and other traumatic things that they've had to face, you know, there's an air of mistrust. And I think that the mistrust is justified. Trust is something that's not, you know, given. It's something that's earned. And I think that with the American government, they have to earn the trust of Black people again. So that starts with building back a good relationship, with reaching out to the community and showing that you're an ally and not an enemy. A lot of people feel disheartened when it comes to people of authority within the Black community or within society. They feel like they don't trust government officials. Because of that, they feel like they don't need to vote. Because of that, they fear going to the doctor. And I think all of that is justified. I'm not going to tell somebody how to feel about the traumas that they faced, because that's their experience. How they feel is how they feel. What the American government needs to do is to be aware of the stigmas and the stereotypes and the fears associated with them and their relationship with Black people. There's always going to be people out there that don't, for whatever reason, trust the government. And that's just something that we're going to have to accept. But then there's also people that might be apprehensive in some way, but at the end of the day, they're open and willing to give the American government a second chance. And it's all about building a good relationship. So I think that if the American government can somehow reach out and allow Black people to trust them again, the vaccine and other medical interventions that they're trying to do to reach out to the community will be more successful if they're able to successfully build trust. But it's not an easy thing to do, because once you lose somebody's trust, it's more difficult to gain it back again. So I think that's the difficulty that our government is having to face. People do have a right to question and be fearful, but at the end of the day, you know, this vaccine is something that the Black community really needs, because so many in the Black community were heavily affected by COVID. So the last thing that we need to do is fearmonger to make people fear taking the vaccine. That's the last thing that we should do. If the American government is going to come at people openly and honestly, what we should do as a community is to embrace that openness and build forward together rather than separating ourselves and fearing the vaccine.
That was excellently put. And what you said about, you know, gaining trust back and everything, there's a lot. Before I get into my real response, like, there's lives on the line. So y'all need to get over and give and let somebody earn that trust and give that trust back that y'all done gave to these people that have fucked y'all over in relationships, all them second chances that y'all done gave these niggas. I'm just saying. But no, my serious response is I can only speak for myself on this. I'm not a member of the Black delegation that speaks for all Black issues and whatever. But I understand people of color being skeptical of the vaccine because of the history with, you know, Black people being experimented on in this country. And this isn't, I mean, it doesn't start at the Tuskegee experiment with the syphilis, right? It doesn't start there. A lot of the modern understanding of gynecology comes from experimentation on slaves, right? This is well documented. Up until the 70s, they thought that Black people had thicker skin, like literally thicker skin, and we felt less pain than a normal person. So trust me, I get it. I understand being skeptical, and I never judge anybody for being skeptical. But you notice that there's not people with polio, mumps, measles, and everything, etc. anymore, right? Vaccines, there have been vaccines that people have taken on a mass scale. So I think that people framing it as, oh, Black people don't trust science, or however it may be framed, I think it's a little overblown. And one thing I think that should give people of color solace in this situation is that this virus don't just affect Black people. The money is being affected. You know, having businesses shut down and the top 1% not being able to make as much money as they want to make. Listen, that's why I would have faith in this vaccine, because they wouldn't be pushing this out and trying to get as many people inoculated and back to work and in air quotes normal again, to keep the wheels turning and the money coming in. Because if there's one thing we know about the powers that be, is that they don't got time for their money to get messed up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think that they have a right to feel the way they want to feel. They're more than entitled to have that feeling. But at the same time, I think that, you know, everything comes with education and reading. The more aware and alert you are about what the vaccine entails and what's in it and how it works, the less fearful you'll be. I feel like when people don't educate themselves but listen to other people's opinions, they're more swayed by opinions than they are with facts and science. So I think that with knowing that, if you can just elevate the facts and science and ignore the propaganda and the false opinions, I feel like that can help the community more than lies will.
I agree. But like I said last episode, full circle moment, segue king, boo, 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 boo. if we can't agree on what facts are anymore, then what are we really, you know, there's nothing that can be accomplished. People have to believe the data that's getting presented to them. They have to believe the source that it's coming from. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of people believing the truth anymore. You know, as much as that I can help, I'll do my best to give you all the facts as I know them. You know, I'm not going to give you alternative facts. But hey, you know what? Speaking of this, right, here's something interesting. Recently, NASA put another rover on Mars and is taking pictures and all this stuff. And I saw something very interesting about it. Somebody said, for all the conspiracy theorists out there, you know, it's a lot easier to fake something like that now versus them faking the moon landing back in the 60s. And I'm like, yo, with all the technology we have now, that's so true. Like, why are people not questioning this, right? The way they scrutinized the moon landing in the 60s. I don't want to go down a conspiracy rabbit hole. I just wanted to put that thought out there and see what you think about that.
I don't know. I just think that when it comes to like stupidity, there's no reason. Oh, you see what I did there? There's no reason to reason with stupidity. It just doesn't make sense. Like Dante always says, like, if you are from a distance looking at two people arguing, nobody can tell who's the stupid one and who's the smart one because both of y'all look like fools. Ignore the people that want to believe in conspiracy theories. As long as they're not harming anybody, let them believe what they want to believe. But the people that know facts, the people that are living in reality, see things for what they are and not this make-believe fantasy, la-la, loopy land that they all live in. I just don't get it. I just get so tired trying to reason with these people. I really do. Y'all can hear it in my voice. I'm exhausted from trying to reason with these people and bringing them up on the show. I hate it. I hate it here. I hate it here.
Here's the thing about that, and like to the people that are into conspiracies and everything, if some of them turn out to be true, I'll be the first one to admit, hey, I was wrong about it. I apologize for calling you stupid. You know, like, and then I guess you could look at it as even a blind squirrel could find a nut. You know, a dead clock is right once a day, whatever that you want to say about it. Yeah, whatever you want to say about it. But I have no problem admitting that I'm wrong because it is what it is. Like, my ego isn't so big that I'm like, hey, I'm never wrong. And even when I'm wrong, I'm going to find a way to make it sound like I was still right without accepting responsibility that I was wrong. Nah, I can be wrong and I'm okay with it. But one thing I'm not going to do is go back and forth with motherfuckers when I know that I'm not wrong at the same time. So,
yeah, don't look crazy. Don't look crazy trying to argue with people that are trying to gaslight you. But I'm glad you said that. I'm glad that you said that you admit when you're wrong, because I love that every week you come on here and say, Justin, you were right. I was wrong. I love that. I love that because you're not afraid to admit
the truth. When has that happened?
It happens almost every week. Almost every week. Dante's like, y'all listen to last week's episode. And you know what? Justin was right. I'll give him his props when he's right. But he was right on that episode. I'm like, I love it. I love to hear it. The listeners love it. But to be real, there's no
behind
crickets.
That joke.
There's no crickets. Wow. Don't even all try that.
All right.
But I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, I was going to say that's a good question, Julia. Thank you for, you know, being so inquisitive and asking us like deep, interesting questions that get us talking. You know, that is an interesting question, especially from the perspective of somebody that's not black. Like, how do black people feel about the vaccine? Do they fear it? My hope is that with more education and time passing, more people will feel comfortable, you know, accepting the vaccine and moving forward so we can get our lives back to normal again. We wanted to talk about criticizing people. Dante, you wrote down on our topic list, is it okay to criticize people? So why did you feel the need to write that down? What's on your mind about being able to criticize people?
Sometimes I feel like the world we live in is extreme in a bunch of senses, right? And I feel like everyone wants to feel like a victim, right? Everyone wants to feel like they were wronged in some way. And people like jumping on other people that are speaking critically of someone, like, it's okay to have constructive criticism. When Justin was talking about The Weeknd that one episode and he had the hashtags, and some Weeknd super fan was hunting hashtags and decided to like get at Justin in the comments about it, and like was making talking about Justin like he knew the guy and talking about his character and shit. Like, that's not cool. It's okay to say, hey, I'm a Weeknd fan, but like, I think this song sucks. I'm not a hater. I'm just giving you what my feeling is on it. I'm criticizing, like, hey, I didn't like the way his voice sounded, or I don't like the guitars in this song, or I think the drums are weak. It's okay to criticize still. I mean, or is it? I mean, I know I'm still going to do it. I don't give a fuck what nobody got to say, but that's the conversation I wanted to get started today.
I think it is okay to criticize people within reason. I feel like as long as you're not attacking somebody's character, people are free to have their opinions. I think that we can reach a dangerous place in this country when we're not even able to have our own opinions because you're so fearful of the blowback. Obviously, people aren't going to like everything that you have to say, but I feel like as long as you're being respectful, there's no reason to scream and yell and call somebody out and try and cancel them simply for having an opinion. Yeah, people are allowed to have their opinions. You can criticize me, you can criticize this show. As long as you're being respectful, then I see no problem with it. Not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's going to like this show. And that's okay. There's something for everybody. I always say that this podcast isn't for everybody, but it's for anybody. It's open to anybody, but it's not for everybody, if that makes any type of sense. But, you know, that's my opinion when it comes to criticizing people. Everybody always talks about how sensitive this generation is. And I think that it's kind of like a hard response from the things that we allowed for too long in this country. When you go and look at all the old movie references, you start cringing at certain movies. You're like, man, in 2021, you would not be allowed to say that. And some of it is justified because over time, the thing is, you should be growing over time. You should be learning over time, or even unlearning. We always talk about it on the show. You shouldn't be the same person right now that you were 10 years ago. If you are, I have some, you know, big questions about that because you're not developing as a person. I certainly was not the same person 10 years ago as I am today. I've grown a lot. I've learned a lot. You know, I've matured a lot, as we all have. At least that's the hope. You should always be growing and maturing and trying to better yourself with each passing day. Criticism is hard because I think to criticize kind of has a negative connotation. If you look at movies, what do you call the people that review them? Critics. And to be a critic of something is to challenge it in some way to understand the deeper meaning. But at the same time, some people will think that you're trying to be negative just to be negative. And I think that's where we can run into some problems.
Right. So let me jump in here, right? Like a movie critic, a food critic, like what are people without constructive criticism? Like if somebody cares about you or they have an invested interest in you, like your job, you do something wrong or you didn't live up to expectations, it's okay to criticize because that's how you get better. I think what you said earlier about people being scared to give their honest opinions or to criticize things because of this world we live in, and they don't want to, you know, have 20,000 people retweeting something about them and get canceled because they spoke their mind within reason. Like, I think that's wrong. You know, I think you should be able to criticize things, art, people, whatever it may be. You should be then willing to take that same criticism back, though. Don't go out talking all this wild, spicy shit and not be able to take it when it comes to your front door, because that I don't respect.
It'd be boring if we were living in a society in which everybody agreed 100% of the time. There's no variation of opinion, and that's how people get into their echo chambers, because if you've never been challenged, there's no reason to grow. It's always good to expand your horizons and get opinions from different people because they'll open you up and make you see things that you might have not seen before. Like I was saying in last week's episode, meet different people, have discussions with people from a variety of different worldviews. Criticize within reason, but don't call somebody out of their name. Some people like to be too harsh in order to evoke a response or trigger somebody in some way. And I think that's the negative side of criticism, people doing it to bring negativity into the world. That's why with a lot of the things that I consume, I try and look at it with a critical eye, but at the same time, talk about the good in addition to bad. Everything can't be all bad and everything can't be all good. And it's good to see both sides of that argument. If you have friends that never tell you when you've done wrong, I feel like they're not truly your friends. Because to me, a true friend will call you out whenever you need to be called out. They'll tell you the truth when you need to hear the truth. I think that's a good thing. Criticism isn't a bad thing, even though it has a negative connotation. But you just need to surround yourself with different opinions. That way, you're not getting just one narrow view about how the world works or how people perceive you even.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very true. Right. Yeah. If somebody cares about you, they want you to be better. And it's up to you. People can give you the answers. It's up to you to accept them and say, you know, be able to have the fortitude to look inside yourself and be like, you know what? I can be better here. Maybe I can improve on this, or maybe this just wasn't good what I did, or, you know, the content I put out, whatever it may be. I don't think there's anything wrong with being challenged. I just think that there's a lot of people. And I don't know if it's the generation that we're a part of or the generation that is coming up after us, but I don't like placing generational blame on anybody. It's a weird battle to fight, in my opinion. But they seem to think that it's like, hey, nobody can talk bad about us because we're all these emotional kids, and it's okay to be us. But like, sure, be yourself, but you know you can improve in certain areas. Like, it's okay to admit that you suck at something, or you can be better at something, or you can grow from something. I'm never going to stop speaking my opinion. That's what I got.
But I will be honest, though. Just because we're open to criticism doesn't make it any easier to criticize people that you care about. I've been in situations where I know something is true, but because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, I either sugarcoat it sometimes, or I don't even bring it up at all because it's not the right time, or I just don't feel like making somebody feel down about themselves based on what I'm trying to say, or I don't want to seem like I'm coming off as negative. I think that with criticism, you have to do it at the right time as well, because sometimes it might not be the best time to criticize or to tell somebody the truth. But I don't think that should stop you at all from delivering your truth, whatever's on your mind or in your heart. Definitely deliver it, but also be cognizant about how that person is feeling at the time and whether or not it's a good time to do that.
I mean, I think in every situation there is time and place. Like, you should definitely know time and place. Like, if you're going to criticize your friend about something and they just, you know, got broken up with or got fired from their job, that conversation could probably wait. You should probably be there for your friend in that moment with this, whatever situation they're dealing with, right? Uh-huh. Time and place matters.
But, it does.
Depending on time and place, I don't think it's running from a conversation like you just said. You know, I think you owe it to people that you care about to be honest with them and, you know, help them improve. And hey, they might even get mad at you about it. But, you know, if they're a rational person and they know that you care about them and it's coming from a good place, they'll come back to you and say, okay, you know, two things can happen. They'll come back to you and say, okay, I see your point. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I apologize for the way I reacted. Or they could be like, thank you for pointing it out to me. I disagree, but you're still, you know, I'm still welcoming, you know, constructive thoughts that you may have about whatever the situation is y'all talking about.
Definitely. And I think that it's easy to tear something down than it is to build something up. You know, anybody can tear something down, but it's difficult to build somebody up again. And it goes with criticism as well. It's easy to criticize, but at the same time, you have to reflect. There's two sides of it. There's you criticizing somebody else, but then there's the reflection side on your part about how you're coming off and what you need to work on yourself, because nobody's perfect. Anybody can be called out, but it's like, okay, but what are you doing? Are you perfect? Because you have things to work on too. And just because you might not have been called out yet doesn't mean that you don't have anything to work on. And it's about reflection. And I always try and do that in my own personal life as well. Try and reflect on how I might come across sometimes, because I never intend, like Dante and I talk all the time. One thing that I know that I need to work on is tone. I'm somebody that does not like texting because I feel like somebody can read something one way, but another person might perceive it as being mean-spirited or condescending. And that's been something that's difficult for me when it comes to texting, because I might text something in a happy, playful tone, but what I texted, if somebody else read it, they might think that I'm being mean or being, you know, mean-spirited in some way when that's not my intention at all. So I try and reflect, and, you know, it's a challenge for me to think before I type. And I think that's something that we should all do, especially in this social media age. Think before we type, you know, read through everything before you send it to make sure that you're not coming off a certain way. But it is difficult because you can do the same thing and think that you're in the right, but still somebody can, you know, feel some type of way about what you were saying to them.
No, I agree with you. And what you said about it being, you know, via text message or email. You know how many times I've been about to lose my job at any given point because I'm reading somebody's email like, so what the fuck do you mean by okay? Like, I'm sitting there getting
passive
upset.
Aggressiveness.
Like, I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are texting me and emailing me like that? Yo, passive aggressive. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't do that. Don't do that in a work situation or an email or a text situation. Don't be passive aggressive, man. Say what the fuck you mean. It saves everybody a lot of time.
It's that corporate mindset, though, about how you have to maintain professionalism while still getting your point across without being unprofessional.
I'd rather you just be short with me and be like, hey, this is what it is. Cool. Let's keep the conversation going if it needs to keep going. But I mean, at work, in your relationships, your friendships, whatever, like, fuck that passive aggressive shit, man. Say what you mean, because if you don't, they're going to be able to take your message and make it fit whatever they think that you're trying to say. It's just way easier to say what you mean. So y'all should take that advice this week. I think that's a good little tidbit to take away from this episode. Say what the fuck you mean.
Yeah, say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest. Say what the fuck you mean. Because we too
get
old.
Get it off your chest. Yes,
life is too short to be over here playing fucking guessing games.
The best thing to always do, and I've learned, is that be direct so people understand where you're coming from without there being blurred lines about the situation at hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, it's like I've said on here plenty of times, right? When it comes to different situations, I'm not a person that mixes words. Like, if I want something, I'm going to ask for it, because the worst thing that can happen is somebody's going to tell me no. And then what happens? Great. I don't have something that I already didn't have. So I always say what I mean. What's the point of using extra words? And words are empty air. What's the point? You know, words are nothing but empty air. What's the point? I'm going to come direct. This is how I feel. This is what I'm thinking. You ask me something, here's my response. You don't, when I send you something, you don't need to analyze it 15 different ways, because 99% of the time, I said exactly what the fuck I meant.
I said what I said.
Yes. And I'll even say it louder for the motherfuckers in the back if you need me to repeat it for you.
Yes. That's the thing that everybody needs to work on if you're not at that place to where you feel comfortable saying whatever you need to say without fearing somebody getting offended or getting their feelings hurt in some way. Say it with your chest. Get it off your chest.
You hurt my feelings when you didn't put the extra Y's when you said, hey, I don't like it when you hurt my feelings. Like, stop it, man. Stop it.
But I will say there is like politics of punctuation, though. An extra space and then a question mark is different from the regular formatting. All of that means something. Sometimes people can read into things too much, but it means something.
The one thing that I don't like is if somebody puts dot, dot, dot. I'd be like, so what the fuck you got on your mind?
Right.
You want to talk about something, obviously, because you put dot, dot, dot. That's like inviting me to ask a question. I can't stand that shit. And I know people that do it after every single thing they type, dot, dot, dot. Don't do that. Don't be that person, guys.
It's annoying. That's why I hate texting, because you can't infer tone. And sometimes people don't even mean it in a negative way or sarcastic way, but that's how you interpret it. So sometimes it's just best to call somebody so you can hear exactly what you need to hear without going through a text or trying to decipher language and emotions and all of that different stuff that comes with communication in this day and age. It's hard. It's something that everybody's adjusting to. Some people like it, some people don't, but I think being direct is always the best way to go.
I think it makes you a better communicator if you're not like passive aggressive the way that you were just talking about it. Like, you're not sending mixed signals, or you're wasting time to get to the point that you want to make, basically, right? Like, if you keep if you're passive aggressive about it, you're beating around the bush and you're implying stuff but not saying it. Like, you're acting like little kids on, like, when little kids have crushes on each other, like, yeah, you know, if I did like you, and, you know, maybe if we hung out, like, stop it. We're all, anybody's listening to this is an adult, I'm pretty sure, right? I don't think we got any kids in middle school listening to this.
If we do, I mean, we might.
Okay.
We might.
Well, you know what? Then I'm giving you good life advice. Say what the fuck you mean.
Say it. Do it. I echo everything that Dante said. It's true. So I guess this episode was about communication, you know, saying things with your chest, being direct, not being afraid to criticize within reason, you know, still respect people at the end of the day. But at the same time, some people are hard to reach. And that's one thing that we didn't talk about, you know, trying to communicate or criticize people that just don't get it. And my opinion is, don't waste your breath. Allow people to do that understanding for themselves, and just save your energy. Save your energy. Save it. You can only control what you can do. You can criticize, but if people are not receptive to what you're saying, you know, you can't do anything at the end of the day. Like, that's with teaching. You can teach somebody and tutor them as much as you can, but if they're not, you know, receiving the information and processing that, your hands are tied at that point. It goes with anything in life. So if people are choosing not to listen, then you can choose to keep your peace and move on and ignore them. That's just my advice.
Yo, I told y'all last week, right? The quote I gave y'all at the end of the episode last week. If you costing me my peace, you gotta go, because that's too expensive. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. Like, I feel like, yes, a lot of times we decide to make life a lot more complicated than it has to be. And to Justin's point, what he just said, right? I don't get upset about the things that I can't control. And I would advise you not to, because your life would be a lot easier that way. There are things that are always going to be out of your hands. Always. and you shouldn't stress over them because you can't do anything to change it. Nothing you can do. No willpower. Nothing will impact it. So it's better to prepare yourself and everything around you for whenever it happens. There's nothing wrong with preparation. I'm a firm believer in preparation. Mm-hmm. There's things I can't control. So I'm going to do my best to mitigate what that outcome may be by preparation. But I don't want this to come across like I'm preaching at y'all. I'm just telling y'all what works for me. That's all.
No, that's true. Because I think my biggest weakness is worrying about things that I can't control. Like, that's plagued me even when I was in school, taking an exam and then worrying, oh, did I get the grade? I can't control what happens after the fact. After I already took the test, you know, what's done is done. And I should just move on to the next thing instead of stressing out about something that's already determined. That's been one of my biggest weaknesses that I always work on. So whenever anybody asks me what's my biggest weakness, it would be that. But the good thing is that we can learn to, you know, adapt to change and learn to let things happen as they happen. What you can control is what you can control. Like Dante said, what you can control is preparing for that test, making sure you're on top of everything and studying the way you should. That way, when you take the exam, you feel more confident about your abilities and what you did versus worrying about the things that you didn't do or the things that you don't have. Like, let's say a job, for example, I might not have every single quality that they're looking for, but I know the qualities that I do have and what I do bring to the table. And that's what I can control. I can't control what I don't have. That's for them to decide and, you know, to determine whether or not they want me or not. But I'm going to tell you how I'm an asset. I'm going to tell you what skills I have. I'm going to tell you what I can bring to the table. And that's what I can control. So it makes no sense to worry about the things that I don't have, because guess what? I don't have it, and you're not going to get it from me. But what you do have is my qualifications and my skills and the good parts of who I am and how I'll build to your company. So it is what it is.
It is what it is. And like Justin said, right? You got to learn to let go. Let that hurt go, sis. As we always used to say, let that hurt go, sis. It's okay.
Let it go. Let it go.
And I mean, I don't want to drag this out, but one thing I will say, like, it's okay to feel emotions too. Like, it's okay to feel hurt or sad, upset about some things. But at a certain point, you got to start working on moving on and getting over it and letting that hurt go. You know, it's okay to be upset about things that happen. There's plenty of times stuff that happens in my life where I'm like, damn, that sucks. I'm upset about this or I'm angry about this. It's not permanent. A lot of things that happen in your life are not permanent. There's rarely anything that happens in your life that is going to matter 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years from now. And once you can grasp that concept, it frees up a lot of time and space in your brain. The worst thing you could do is let somebody live rent-free in your head. That's the worst thing you could ever do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good thing that they teach in therapy too, which is something that our community or communities in general should never run from. Talk to somebody, you know? Dante said, let that hurt go. Talk to somebody about your pain. But then we should also remember the importance of moving on and protecting your peace. It's not good to worry. And I think that it's also unhealthy to keep that pain and all that resentment bottled up. Let it out. Or if you can't let it out, find a way to move on, because life is short. And I'd rather spend time worrying about the things that I can control versus things that are out of my control that, you know, affected me a long time ago. But the time is here to move on.
I didn't expect this conversation to lead to this and turn into this, but I'm glad that it did, because I think it's important. I think y'all like the vulnerability of some of the things that we talk about and some of the stuff that we've been through and, you know, some of the advice on, you know, how we move forward with certain things. Before we get out of here, I just want to say to our Asian brothers and sisters and fellow humans, we stand with you. The crimes that are being committed against Asian people because of the twisted narrative that's out there that it's all their fault that the pandemic happened is wrong. You shouldn't be committing random acts of violence against anyone. Random acts of violence against anyone is not okay. We need to spread awareness about that and stop that.
I'm glad you said that, because I think that as minorities, it's important for us to rally around each other. And when one of us is hurting, all of us is hurting. I know a lot of my Asian friends were, you know, right by my side whenever the George Floyd was happening over the summer. And I think that whenever their community is under attack, we need to show that same love and appreciation towards each other. So my heart is also with the Asian community and all my friends that have been affected by random acts of violence and everything that's going on in their community. Nobody, as Dante said should be feeling the need to attack somebody. And I think that this all goes back to messaging, and words have effects on people. And look what we're seeing today. My heart goes out to everybody. Y'all continue to stay safe. In times like this, it's important to speak out. And I'm glad you made sure to say that before we closed out this episode.
So I want to read to y'all a quote that I read when I was younger, and it's always stuck with me. And I think, you know, you mentioning how the people of the Asian community that you're friends with were there for you and being supportive and being an ally, you know, this past summer when, you know, there was a lot of racial and social unrest in our community, and we need to be there for them now. Here's a quote from the Holocaust. First, they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came from the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. We're in this together.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful. I love that. I love that. But I really don't have too much to say anymore. I'm thankful for you guys for always listening. Thank you for the support. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for the anonymous thing. Thank you for reaching out. You guys are the reason we do this. If there wasn't anybody listening, we wouldn't be doing this. So thank you for loving the show. Continue to share it. Continue to, you know, help us continue growing. And I'm glad that y'all appreciate the important conversations that we have on the show. It's always fun for me. I'll speak for myself coming here every week. It's kind of like therapy, I always say. But I'm very appreciative of you guys. I know I say it a lot, but I really do mean it. And I want y'all to understand how much y'all mean to me. So if you feel compelled, reach out, email, anything, any way that you want to get involved with the show, feel free, and we'll be receptive toward that. But I appreciate you guys.
And I echo Justin's sentiments. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. You know, I wouldn't have been here if people didn't reach out and say to Justin, hey, we kind of like this guy. He brings something to the show. And, you know, a lot of people reached out and spoke up about it. And, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. So, yes, you do mean something to me. I appreciate every single one of y'all. You know, we built a family here. And, you know, I'm very thankful for y'all. But I will take us out now. We are Polar Opposites. Thank you for listening, as always. Please tell your friends to tell a friend about it. Please like, share, subscribe, download our episodes. Listen to them. Listen to them again. Play them again. Play them for a friend. Play it in your car, at the bar, through your headphones, when you're home alone. I don't care, but I thank y'all for listening. New fans, old fans, secret fans, whoever you are, thank you so much. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Bye, guys.